chapter 47. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 7. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple. 47. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the other side to the outer gate that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The water came up to my waist. Feeling the Holy Spirit. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there, along the bank of the river, there were many trees on one side and the other. Father, I thank you today that this word, oh God, that Father, you would edify us from heaven. That God, we will eat of it, and God, it will bear much fruit. Let it fall on fruitful ground. Let it fall on good ground in the name of Jesus, that Lord, it will bear 30, 60, and 100 fold. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have your seats. Praise the Lord. Here is Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel was a priest taken into Babylonian exile. That's around 597 BC, along with King Jehoiakim and many others. Amen? Now, Ezekiel, he ministered to the Jewish exiles. They were discouraged, displaced, and struggling to believe that God was still with them. Now, this book, the book of Ezekiel, contains a lot of strong imagery, and visions that God gave Ezekiel. Now, this vision that God has given Ezekiel here, Ezekiel sees a river flowing from the temple. And this river brings life wherever it goes. Now, this shows that God is dwelling among his people. His spirit is there to heal, to restore, and to bring fruitfulness. Now, this river symbolizes life, and it symbolizes blessing, and it symbolizes growth. All right? For the exile, this message was a message of hope. This was a message of hope that though they were dry and though they were in a barren place in captivity, God would again pour his spirit and restore his people. Now, for us today, it is a call. What is it? It's a call to experience the Spirit's work in a personal way. Amen. It's a call for us to move from shallow to deeper waters in our walk with him. God has more for you. Amen. God has more for you. My message today is entitled, "Don't Stop Until You Are Swimming." Don't stop until you are swimming. I want you to take notice that the source of the water, amen, the source of the water flows from where? The temple. It's specifically from under the threshold or the entrance. Now, this symbolizes that the flow of the water comes directly from God, from the presence of God. In the Old Testament, God's glory dwelt in a temple. But today, God's glory is Jesus himself. Amen. This life, this river flows from Jesus himself. John 2:19 says that Jesus answered them and said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Amen. Jesus is that temple. Amen. And from Jesus, amen, flows living water. John 7:37 says, "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive." Amen. Amen. Out of Jesus flows the living water. Amen. The water that sustains us, the water that produces growth, the water that takes us from glory to glory. Amen. Now, the first vision we have here, are the water first came up to Ezekiel's ankle. In verse 3, it says, "The water came up to my ankles." This now symbolizes when you first come to know God. When you first come to know God, you know, you have salvation, the basics of the faith. And here you are really relying mostly on your own strength. You are relying on your own strength. Now, there is a temptation. Remember, the water is not supposed to be on our ankle alone. It got to take us over. Amen. But when you first come to Christ, you first experience this water that comes up to your ankle. Now, there is, and you're not supposed to stop there. Tell someone, don't stop at salvation. We're not to stop at salvation. We are expected to grow. We're expected to go from glory to glory. Amen. We're expected to come up in the things of God. And many of us, when we come to Christ, we remain at this ankle deep water. We don't do anything more. We come to church and we go home. Maybe we read our Bibles during the week, maybe not, but we go on as if nothing really happened. God does not want that for you. God does not want that for you. Can I tell you something? One of the biggest problems with the charismatic movement and the Pentecostal church is that we're too hype in the spirit of feeling, and we don't get enough into the word in learning, because the extent of your learning of Christ and learning of God will demonstrate the extent of the experiences you have with Christ. Meaning, the more you know the word, the more breakthrough you have, the more you know Christ, the more you will experience his hand. And the problem is that we don't want to subject ourselves to study. We don't want to subject ourselves to learning. We come to church, we hear, and we go back the same way. We're not taking in anything because we just want excitement, excitement, excitement. But we have to come to a place of learning. Because in our knowing, that will give us the experiences or the results. Nothing more, nothing less. Pray all you want, but without the word, you're not praying effectively.
Come on, amen.
And the second thing with the problem of the charismatic movement and the Pentecostal movement is that sometimes some of us get into the word, we know the word, but we refuse to do the word. Obedience. Why do we have, last week, Pastor Wednesday, preach that you show me a believer that don't know their word. That's why you're having battles, so many battles. That's why you can't pray a little. That's why you can't go and evangelize a little. That's why you can't pray yourself through situations. Why? You don't have the word in you. You don't have the word in you. And it's necessary that we come back as a church. We come, we gather on a Sunday, we gather on a Wednesday, and every other day, what? To learn. So that we can go out there and live out these truths. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. Declare that I will not be an ignorant believer. I will know the word of the Lord, and I will do great exploits. I shall live out what God says I will live out. In Jesus' name. Now, a lot of people come to Christ, but they remain there because there is this complacency. You, heaven is your home, so now it's like everything is nice and dandy. The danger is to stay shallow, knowing about God, but not pursuing Him deeper. Amen. We don't recognize that it's at our heads, and we miss God. We miss God. We miss what God is doing. Amen. We miss the plans and the purposes of God. And breakthroughs are aborted at this stage. At this stage. Zechariah 4:10 says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." Amen. It is very important for the work to begin. Amen. But it's also as much important to keep it going. Amen. 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 Sometimes when something is small, you don't see the value in it. But I want to tell you that when you come to Christ, there is more. There is more. There is greater heights. The water cannot remain at the ankle. There is more. There is more. We need to pursue and run after God. And sometimes at these levels, because what we notice seems insignificant, minimal. You know, when you first come, yeah, it's nice to come to church, but then that's it. That you're not experiencing these great breakthroughs. And we're tempted to say, well, all right, that's it. I come to church, I have a good time, I feel good. I go home back, I'm the same way with my wife, I'm the same way with my husband, I'm the same way with my children, I'm the same way at my job. But heaven's my home, so praise be to God. We cannot get complacent here because there is more. Small beginnings give way to greatness, but only when we work it. I will repeat that. Small beginnings give way to greatness, but only when we work it. Amen. Small beginnings. It is small because the foundations are being set. Amen. And you need a strong foundation in order to build upon it. So this stage might take a little bit more pushing, will take a little bit more pressing, will require a little bit more of you because you're not seeing. Yet by faith, you have to continue to build upon the foundation that you have received. It is not enough to remain in ankle-deep waters. This will do nothing for you. Especially when there's more. When there's more. Amen. Amen. You know, we always see David's life as a culmination, and we see him on the throne, and that he has an everlasting throne. And we see him that he wrote so much of the book of Psalms, that a man after God's own heart. But guess what? The man was once a boy. The man was once a boy. And that doesn't just mean his age, but his maturity level and his spiritual level. At one time he was a babe. At one time he was a little boy. He was a little boy. Little. But in those days, he worshiped God with the harp. You think he ran up to the bear and the lion first thing? No. You see, we see the bear and the lion, but we didn't see what he did before getting to the understanding that knowing that he can conquer a bear and a lion. There was harp playing. There was making melody unto the Lord. There was worshiping the Lord. There was consistency. There was pressing. There was prayer. There was seeking out. There was finding God in the little things. Hearing the small voice of God. Remaining in silence. Listening. Not just speaking. So much of our prayer time is talking, that we don't stop to say, okay, God, I finished speaking, now talk to me. There were closet moments before David slew any bear or any lion. He was in the ankle deep water, but he worked it. He didn't despise his small beginnings. But he understood. In all of our getting, get understanding. Get not knowledge, you know. Understanding. We can get a lot of knowledge. Do you know a person who has a lot of knowledge but lack understanding? Yes. I know a lot of those. All right? But in all of our getting, we must get understanding. And that understanding is what keeps us, and it's the fuel to the fire. Amen. 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 I want to tell you, if you're in ankle deep water, come on up. Come on up. Ezekiel 47:4 says, then the water came up to my knees. Amen. 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 Through fervency, through consistency. Amen. The water left the ankle and now it's at his knees. Amen. We have to work that up. Consistent in prayer, consistent in our time spent with God, consistent in coming to church. Amen. Amen. The water will eventually come up to your knees. And this, our knees, the water at our knees represent prayer and surrender. At this stage, you are learning dependency on God. Amen. So the first stage, the water at our ankles, is salvation, the basics of our faith. Amen. Amen. But a lot of people are in the church for a long time, but still in, it's not just simply, you know, having salvation, but remaining at the basic, being babes in the faith. But now you have worked it and you're at the knee. You're at the knee. And this is where, you know, represent prayer and surrender. So you've been praying and say, God, have your way in me. I want to know you. I want to grow in you. Amen. And so here you are pushing and pushing and pushing. But there's also a temptation at this level. The temptation at the ankle deep level is to become complacent. It's to despise the small beginning. And here the temptation is that there is distraction. Life pulls at you. Busyness, worry, and other voices all tempting you to pray less and to rely more on self. With every stage come temptation. With every stage come dangerous demons and battles. And we have to know where we're at on this journey and what is the temptation, and then to overcome that temptation so that we don't stop until we are swimming. You ever notice that when you are praying more and you're surrendering more, that that's the time life raises its ugly head against you? You ever notice that once you made up your mind that I'm going to be committed to praying and fasting, that's then the time the diabetes worm come up and you suddenly you have high blood pressure that you need to take medication? And suddenly now you had 1 hour free lunch, but now you got to work through lunch and you can't pray anymore? My nice co-workers are suddenly nasty co-workers, not giving me any peace. So I can't pray anymore. This is the wiles of the enemy. This is the trials of life. Comes to snatch from you. Come to take you away and cause you to be in a box of containment that you cannot move. You're going to the left and you can't move. The right, you can't. Forward, oh my God, it's not happening. And backwards for sure. Luke 10:40-42 says, Martha was distracted with much serving, but Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus. You must be watchful and you must be vigilant. You must keep your eyes and your ears open to understand and discern the times that you are in, to see whether that thing is important or if it's simply a distraction to keep you away from following your Jesus or from going from glory to glory. My God, you're at glory, but you're not going to glory. Be careful with distractions when you're knee deep in the things of God. Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. I always tell my children that you don't clean like me. And the only reason why you don't clean like me is because you don't use your eyes. You don't use your eyes. You know why? Everyone knows that this, let's say the chair was in front, that it doesn't belong here. It belongs in a row. Everyone knows what crooked looks like and what straight looks like. But if we don't use the eyes, we will not see. This is why Jesus said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. And he was not talking about physical eyes, but spiritual eyes. And who knows, as in the natural, so in the spiritual, that you must watch. You must be able to discern. Your spirit must see some things to know what's happening in your life and in your surroundings. Watch. Watch. Watch! Too long we have bat a blind eyes. Too long we turn the other way hoping that it will change. It does not work like that. You watch so that you can see, so that you can know, and then you pray. Jesus, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Your spirit wants to do it. Your spirit cries out. And I know your spirit cries out. Because there are some times when you're doing something and your spirit's saying, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. But your flesh is saying, do that, do that, do that. Last night something happened to me and it broke my heart. It broke my heart and I felt so, and in my spirit's ear, I'm hearing, Don't be disappointed. Don't get mad. Don't get sad. Pray this through. Pray this through. This is an attack of the enemy. Pray this through. Pray this through. But my flesh felt very good in getting mad and being upset and just going to bed early and sleep with my wet hair. And I did that. I went to bed, wet hair, woke up with wet hair because I refuse to listen to the willing spirit that says God is going to work out everything, everything. But my weak flesh stepped in, even though I heard what the spirit was saying. Anyone been there? So this morning, of course, I repented and I say, God, you have it. I said, God, you have it. God, you have it. God, you have it. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Don't be ignorant. None of us have the spirit of ignorance. We have the spirit of wisdom living in us. We have the spirit of light that dispels darkness. Part of darkness is ignorance. And the spirit of God has dispelled every ignorant spirit in us so that we must not remain there. Watch and pray. When David came before Goliath, he didn't rely on his own strength. He relied on God's strength. His understanding would have been, let me take Saul's sword. Let me take Saul's protection. This is not me. This is not me undermining God, but this is me being wise. Watch and pray. We call things being wise when it's not God's will. When God wants you to step out by faith, but we count the cost because we say it is wise. This is why not everything will work for every situation. You have to be watchful and vigilant. Amen. So that when God downloads into your spirit for this season, it's for this season. The strategies for this season will not work in the next and will not work in the next. You need the strategies that will work for this season. Because even if the giants are the same, the strategies won't always work because the times change. Watch and pray. So David, he's like, no. God says this to me. So with much prayer and much discernment, I will face this Goliath. Not because I am a boy. And you know, boys tend to be foolish and full of pride and say, okay, I could do anything. No. You know, in Guyana, they have a saying that boys' bicycle has no brakes. Right? They just go. Little boys' bicycle has no brakes. Right? And that's talking about foolish passion. Foolish passion, feeling invincible. But David knew his God. Because why? He watched and he prayed. He was not distracted with much serving, but he was serving the creator of all creators. And so we know the end of that story. David was able to do something that has never been done in history before. With a slingshot and a stone, killed a mighty warrior. You see, Goliath was not just a big giant. You know, giants, sometimes they're slow. You can't do nothing. You know, like big people, like sometimes it's like, no offense. But you know that kind of thing that, you know, you don't have speed, you don't have longevity, and all these things. But this was a warrior. This was not an out of shape man. He was watchful and he prayed. Amen. 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 If the water is at your knees, brethren, don't let the busyness of life distract you. Don't let worry and other voices. Don't let good opportunity take the place of right opportunities. A lot of times the enemy comes in good opportunities. Be careful of what seems good. Always do what is right, not what is good. Now, let's say you're praying and you're praying and you continue in that. You'll find yourself in waist deep water. 47:4, Ezekiel says, the water came up to my waist. Amen. And this is where your strength is tested. Waist deep means that you're feeling the current pulling you and you're less in control. This is when faith costs more obedience, purity, and resisting sin. If you've been long enough in the faith, and if you have tarried long enough, and if you have followed the word long enough, you would be at waist deep. And many of us find ourselves here in waist deep waters. But there's a great temptation at waist deep waters that causes us to remain all of our life at waist deep water when God wants to submerge us, when God wants us to cause us that we can't stand anymore, but we must swim. And it's called pride. 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 At this stage, it almost looks like you're submerged. Because you're experiencing a type of fullness. You're doing exploits for the Lord at this stage. Amen. You're winning. Your prayer life has gotten very strong. And you can pray targeted prayer. Your eyes of discernment are open that you can see an attack of the enemy a miles away. You can even smell it. That's how discerning you have become. You understand the weapons of your warfare. You understand that the enemy comes in like a flood, but God will raise up a standard. Here you're not moved by materialism. Whether you have or you don't have, you are okay. You're holding your head high because you know your God is able. But there's a temptation. The enemy never leaves you. And every stage, his weapon gets trickier and trickier and more crafty and more crafty that you do not notice it. Most of us who have pride don't know that we have a pride problem. Most of us who have pride do not know that we have a pride problem. And this is the problem with this stage. You think you have arrived. You think you have arrived. Suddenly, your man of God can't speak into your life anymore because you know more than him. You're a greater intercessor than him. You're more eloquent than him. You make more money than him. God has blessed you. And maybe indeed so, more than him. So suddenly, you cannot receive the knowledge that God Himself has downloaded into Him for you. Pride. You think you're better. You think you're better. You are mature now. God, you have seen the goodness of God in your life. You have seen miracles after miracles, but suddenly you have lifted up your heart in the presence of the one that has lifted you up. You have lifted up your heart in the presence of Him who has lifted you up. You see, pride is not us actually being better or feeling better. The root of that is thinking that we know more than even the one who has created us and blessed us and kept us. This is not a sin against man. It's a sin against God and even your own self. You limit yourself here. First Corinthians 10:12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Watch out for that demon called pride. And let me tell you, this is not you and that you're so wicked. Pride is not you. You didn't conjure that up. It's the enemy. It's Satan himself. The subtlety of the snake. The subtlety of the serpent. You're not that wicked to think of pride your own self. Think about yourself. When would you ever in your own right mind think you're better than somebody else? And lift yourself up higher than knowing and understanding the plans and purposes of God, who says that I will cause even children, I will perfect my word out of babes. It's not you. It's the subtlety of the devil. The wickedness of Satan has crept into you. Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then shame. But with the humble is wisdom. Resist. Even when your feeling go against that feeling. You don't walk by feeling. You walk by faith. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Obadiah 1:3, the pride of your heart has deceived you. You who dwell in the clefts of the rock, in the one who is being kept by God. Pride came in and deceived you. You're hidden in God yet. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You see, even David, pride entered into his heart. That when it was time for the kings to go out and fight battles, he put men in charge when he should have been in charge. He thought all the battles they will win. He don't need to be there. I have raised an army. That's when he saw that woman taking a bath and could not get it out of his mind. I am the king, and whomever I desire, I shall have them. Pride. 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 Pride kept him home instead of being on the battlefield. Pride kept him at a place now where he's seeing things that he should not be seeing. Bathsheba taking a bath was a private moment and was never meant for the eyes of another. Jesus. Jesus, have mercy on us. That pride so blinded that we start seeing things we should not be seeing. Is anyone getting something here? Is anyone getting something here today? Jesus. Jesus. And in waist-deep waters, your strength is tested. And after pride comes compromise. Compromise. The things that you never thought you will be doing, suddenly you find yourself. For years you have walked in the ways and precepts of God, but here I am eating my own vomit. The place I never thought I will return, I find myself here. Hey, Alan. Mighty. A general of the faith, delivered from alcoholism. I believe one of his problems was that he had pride. He had seen so many miracles but could not experience that miracle. Through him, God healed, saved, and delivered. Miracles you could have seen with your eyes and verified by science. But he couldn't experience that miracle. So he started drinking. He wasn't wicked. To subside, I believe, a pain in his knee. Couldn't humble himself to go before God and to cry out and plead for himself. You think A.A. Allen was wicked? He wasn't wicked. That man did so much that we only dream about. Yet return and died an alcoholic. Be careful at waist deep waters that your heart is not lifted up, whereby you not only not see, but see things you shouldn't see and then fall. Think about the great preachers in this nation. So many have fallen and succumbed, compromised their faith. Now God has raised them up and God is great, but we have to be discerning. You see, they say the greatest teacher is experience. I want to tell you something today. It does not have to be your experience. Let it be from someone else. Learn. We're in the age of information. Learn. Have your heart tuned to understanding that when you see a preacher fall, you don't say, "I saw it." Joshua Selman says that if you had prophesied something and then you say, "Ha, you saw that man come to pass, wicked is you." Because you never prayed that person through. And you never cried out for mercy. Would it have been you? What would you have cried out for? Judgment or mercy? Amen. Amen. God wants us swimming. God does not want us at waist deep waters. Most of us, if you've been in the faith long enough and mature, we're at waist deep waters. But we need not stop until we are swimming. Amen? 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 Amen. Ezekiel 47:5. It was a river that I could not cross, water in which one must swim. Here, you are no longer in control. Not I who live, but Christ in me. God is carrying you. This is full surrender. This is death to the flesh and the things of carnality. Amen. You are walking by the Spirit, being led from where you cannot go on your own. Jesus, may we all swim. Rakotakarebe. May we all swim in the river of God. May we not stop until we've come to a place of totally being submerged. Higher and higher. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. But there's also a caution. At this stage, it's called fear. 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 Many resist this level because it means giving up control and trusting God completely. Amen. Even when you have built something, and you're doing a lot, God is saying, bigger, bigger, bigger. And there is this fear, where is bigger coming from? Even when God has established you and your family, God is saying, now that I have established you, step out into the deep. That very job that has blessed you and kept you all these years, give it up. Give it up. I'm calling you to preach. I'm calling you to go as a missionary. Trusting God completely. Luke 9:23, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross, his cross, daily and follow me. Follow me. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Amen. 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 After David's fall, you can see that he repented deeply. It's recorded in Psalm 51. He learned from his brokenness that you can become totally dependent on God. His life after that fall shows a man swimming in God's mercy and presence. We see all throughout the Psalms of how God has used him, amen, to turn our lives into a song, into praise, hallelujah. That from it, my God, you can have some vocabulary in which you can speak unto the Lord. That from it, hallelujah, you can suddenly describe the indescribable God. That suddenly you understand, hallelujah, that it's not you that's living anymore. That God is living in you. And you understand that should I ascend into the heavens or go down into the deep, that his presence will not depart from me. This man, hallelujah. hallelujah, went from ankle deep water to knee deep water to waist deep water, and then he swam in the river of God. Jesus. May men and women out of this congregation, arise from ankle deep water, from knee deep water, from waist deep water. There will be an army out of faith that will not stop until they swim in the river of God. I declare and decree that in the name of Jesus. Not one, not two, but many. Rokote kerababa. Not one, but not two, but many. Yekeraba. Is there anyone that will say, yes, Lord, do it. Yes, Lord, make that one me. Is there anyone that will say, I will stay in the spirit, and I will war, and I will wait, and I will stay at the feet of Jesus until I am swimming. Verse 6 to 7. Ezekiel is asked, have you seen this? Rakate, meaning pay attention. This is important. Pay attention. Have you seen this? Ezekiel, have you seen this? My God. Jonah, have you seen this? Whatever your name is, have you seen this? Have you seen this? Rakato. Open up the eyes of our understanding that we will see. Open up our blind eyes that we will see. Let the scales fall off that we will see. My God, let distraction fall off that we will see. My God, because we need to pay attention. Rakateke rabababa. Yeke rabababa. Where I suffer, oh God, from a short attention span. My God, remove that from me. Burn that out of me, Holy Spirit, and cause me to see. It goes on to say that on the banks, you're going to come out to the side of the banks of the river where there are many trees, which signifies fruitfulness and healing. Amen. Later in Ezekiel 47:12, it says, these trees are described as bearing fruit every month, and their leaves are for healing. Jesus. Not only will you be fruitful, where you go, you will speak this fruitfulness, my God, and it will heal others. It will transform others. You cannot give but that which you have received and experienced. But because you have experienced it, you can now give it. You cannot give me what you yourself have not experienced. But because, man of God, woman of God, you have seen. You have come out of the other side. And now you can give it. 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 You see, this vision, hallelujah, represents the outpouring of God's Spirit, bringing life, bringing healing, bringing renewal. Where to go deeper. Don't stop at ankle deep. Don't stop at knee deep. And praise be to God if you have made it to waist deep. But don't stop there. Go further. Go further until you are completely immersed and carried by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Now, before I close, I just want to have you to understand that there's a great need for discernment. There's a great need for discernment. At every level, discernment is key. It is vital. You must discern and determine whether you are settling for shallow water, whether distractions are pulling you away from the feet of Jesus, whether compromise is knocking at your door, or whether fear is keeping you from completely surrendering to God. Discernment. Discernment. Sharpen your discernment. I want to tell you, reading your word and prayer will sharpen your discernment. But there's another ingredient. Honesty. Honesty. We lie to ourselves all the time. We say we're okay when we're not okay. We say we're good when we're not good. Honesty. 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 David didn't always discern rightly, but when he did, he repented, did what was right, God restored him and carried him deeper. Wow. It's okay if you did not discern right. It's okay. No shame in that. Repent, draw close to God, and let Him take you deeper. Amen. Don't stop until you are swimming. Don't stop until you are swimming.